Welcome to Spiritual Engineering Radio, building extraordinary relationships with your show hosts, Thomas and Patricia Strausser. This will be an uplifting hour filled with information, inspiring interviews, and music to connect you to your own spiritual energy. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this show that could transform your life.
Good morning, good morning. I hope that everybody is having a great day so far. Welcome to Spiritual Engineering, the new science for happiness and extraordinary relationships.
Yes, welcome. It's going to be another beautiful morning here in Colorado. It's got a lot of snow. Down here where we live, we had 22 inches of snow as of Friday, and then we got another 6 inches the day before yesterday. So it's making up for all the times it didn't snow, but it's going to be a beautiful day. And it's real interesting. We were talking before the show. This is one of those mornings that I'm just not really up. I'm just kind of down and flat. And it's just part of life. It's just part of the things that we get through.
And here, Patricia Strausser and Thomas Strausser. And thank you to Cosmic Citizen for allowing us to have this weekly show where we discuss different topics that you suggested to our website, www.spiritual-engineering.com. We also are on Twitter, Thomas Strausser, and we are on Facebook. We have our own page, Spiritual Engineering. If you want to send us an email, post your comments about the show. We would love to hear from you. And we have an exciting show today. We will continue talking about how we deal with grief when somebody is dead or we go through separation or through divorce or isolation. Different situations, but how we deal with this common feeling that we experience when we lost someone.
Yes, last week we covered and separating grief into the two types When we have grief due to the death of someone we love and how to move through that, how to go through that loss, that pain, and move on with life, how to miss the person, to hurt, and to not hide those feelings, to experience those feelings, but then to move on. And then we have, today we're going to be looking at grief due to a living loss, where we lose someone to divorce, separation, we isolate, we move away from our family, move away from our friends. And when we go through those feelings of loneliness, or in case of divorce or separation, when we break up a relationship, how do we deal with that? Because these feelings are quite different. We have a lot of feelings, a lot of emotions, when we go through a divorce or separation that we don't have, we don't experience when we have death, grief due to death of a loved one. When we separate from someone, when our relationship is breaking up or is broken up, then we have some real problems.
The first feeling that we might experience is that sense of failure, that the relationship didn't work out, and usually we blame ourselves so we can blame the other person. And also we may be afraid that we never experience a healthy relationship. Let's talk about that, honey.
Yes, let's look at, the feelings. When we get through this, as we're going through a separation, going through a breakup of a relationship, the difference in this and going through when we lose someone to death is that this is an ongoing thing. The person is still here. And we often have a sense of blame. We blame the other person. We blame ourselves. Like you're saying, we have feelings of guilt, remorse, like we're never going to have a great relationship. We don't fit in. We just have a lot of feelings that aren't triggered or aren't experienced when we go through the death experience. So let's look at that. When we go through this, what do we do? How do we feel deep down about these things?
And also we may experience jealousy. We feel betrayed, especially if the person has done it against to compromise the loyalty we can be resentful. And usually this resentment grows over time, right? We also feel severe loneliness and sadness. And all these feelings, we also experience that these feelings don't come alone. It is a composite of different kind of feelings. And we also don't have to deal with the sense of betrayal, but we have to deal with the anger, with the resentment, with the guilt. I mean, it's a big combo enchilada there.
Oh, it is. And it's really, you know, and these are living relationships. The people are still there, and we get through these feelings. And okay, now we have someone that just came in, Nelly66, just typed in something. I want to read what she said. I would love some advice. My husband and I have a 25-year-old daughter who will not allow us in her life. It's very painful. And, Nelly, believe me, this is something, and a lot of what I try to work from and use as my own experience, and I have went through this. I have went through separation from children when they basically did not want anything to do with me, and for various reasons. And I found that...
Tell it about what's happening with your son.
My son, okay. My son, I went through a divorce pretty early in life, in my 20s, and my son became very isolated from me. His mother basically isolated him completely from me, and I had a son and a daughter. And as time went on, I was able to develop a relationship with my daughter, a very good relationship with the daughter and the grandchildren. My son still holds a lot of resentment, and a lot of this was just absolutely not my fault. I have looked at these things and tried to own up to my part of this and try to make amends and mend the fences where I can. But I have a son who still has a lot of resentment from the way that he grew up and some things that happened.
You have visited him, you send letters, you have made calls on his birthday at Christmas time, and we never heard from him. You never heard from him.
No, and when I see him, he's civil, he's all right. But the point is, even within families, in times like this, relationships are some of the most difficult things in the world, and especially with the people that we love, the ones we love, so want to hold so close to us. And so we do have these feelings. So how do we handle this? How do we go about it? And if we have a child or someone who we want to be in their life, we really do, but they don't want us, and they don't want us for some reason, how do we handle it? Well, one of the things I've had to look at is, okay, what part of this did I play? What part do I really have? Try to make an honest assessment. I try to pray and look at this from a very objective viewpoint. What did I contribute to this estrangement of this relationship? And if I find whatever I've contributed, I need to go back and try to make amends for that. I need to try to make up for that, to apologize, and to admit my mistake, and then move on. But even in doing this, there's sometimes, and like it is in my case, and it may be in yours, that even when I do this, it still doesn't work out. For whatever reason, it may be another, the person may have a spouse that doesn't like us, the person may have this resentment or this anger built up so much inside of them, they can't forgive and start over. This person may have a completely skewed perception of what's happened in life. It may just be from they misunderstood something, or they just see something that happened in a very skewed way. And there's some of these things that we can't do anything about. I've also run into my own family where I've had estrangement when one of the kids got into drugs, and that's just what happened. And basically, they just, again, did not want anything to do with us. But whether it's drugs or skewed perception or how they see us, there's a lot of these things that we can't change in our mind. We can't force them to change. So we have to look at ourselves and say, okay, I want this relationship. I want this to happen. How do I do this? How do I move through life and not feel as much pain? And that's one of the things that we do in spiritual engineering, is realize we need to make every effort that is our responsibility to mend these relationships. And then we have to realize there's sometimes things that we do, there are, because of these perceptions, these outside circumstances, because of a really deeply set anger or something on the other person's part, we may not be able to really mend that relationship at this time. At this time.
This is so interesting because what I hear you saying is that we may do all the right things to mend the relationship, to make amends, but still we don't find the results we expect. So basically we make an amends for ourselves. Is that correct?
Yes, we have to take care of what is our responsibility. We have to take care, keep our side of the street clean. We have to do what we are responsible for doing, what we can do. And remember, in doing this, we can never give up our self-respect or our dignity. There are some things that we can't give up, but we have to do everything within our power to mend these loving relationships. And then we have to realize there's sometimes the other person, for whatever reason, is just not going to work. So what do we do? How do we get through that? When we have someone, we want a relationship with this person, and they reject us. They really don't want anything to do with us. What I've had to do is realize one of the biggest things I have is that God doesn't have any grandchildren. They're all his kids. My child is God's child. And if I step back sometimes, God does not need me to intervene in that child's life. I have responsibilities as a parent, but there's certain things that are up to God and not up to me. And it's between that child and God. And what I can do is pray for that child to find God, to find a loving relationship, whatever they want, whatever religion, however they want, but they find a personal relationship with God. I can pray for that. And then I can pray for them to have love and peace and understanding. What I've learned, and that we talk about this when we talk about effective prayer, what kind of prayer really works? Well, you know, prayer sometimes does not have the objective of changing the outside circumstances. Prayer has the objective, and it really works when I look for it to change me, to change my attitude and perception and my acceptance and my understanding. And God can help me do this all the time. He can help me see what I need to do and what I'm responsible for. He can help ease the pain because I'm not getting a relationship that I think any person in life would really love to have, a relationship with my child. God can help ease that pain. One of the things I've also learned is that a lot of times, and I mentioned my relationship with my daughter, it was estranged for quite a few years. And then we got back together, thanks to Patricia a lot, thanks to my wife. We were able to get back, and now we have a fantastic relationship, the kind of relationship that a father would love to have with his daughter. But I went through those times where, for various reasons, the relationship was cold, it was isolated, it wasn't what I wanted. And all I could do was keep my place and do the right thing and consistently and repeatedly try to do the right loving thing. And keep praying, mm-hmm. and keep praying so that God could work his wonders and maybe heal that person's heart.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I have to realize that my timing is not always God's timing. I want things now, and I want them when I want them. And these relationships, these are relationships that are very important, and we want them. And sometimes they just don't happen. So I have to accept the fact that they're not happening right now. I have to accept the fact that God doesn't have any grandchildren. I have to accept the fact that one of the things that's helped me with my son, because our relationship is still a little strained. It's not what I want. And I have to realize that I really believe in eternity. I believe these relationships are eternal events. I believe that the relationships that I can't mend in time will be mended in eternity. See, I believe that if God gave me one of the purposes on this life is to learn to love other people. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to learn to love other people. When a parent and a child is one of the closest loving relationships we can ever have. So when I develop this love for this child, if that is separated for any earthly circumstances and it doesn't get mended now, I will have all of eternity to rejoin and mend that relationship. Once this love starts, until it grows into full bloom, we will have the opportunity. And I know that doesn't give a lot of consolation right here, right now, when we're hurting. But it really helped me to realize that I'm looking at 20, 30, 40 years, and I have, if I need it, 10,000 years out there to make this relationship work. And so that is what has helped me. And then how do I move through this? Prayer is one of the biggest things that I have. I have to keep praying, and I have to keep sharing with people. You said your husband's there. To keep sharing with the husband why, you know, how we can do this. I cannot take this relationship and let it be the center point of my life to the point that it harms other relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that happens. When we lose someone to death or we lose someone to living loss, we become so focused on that relationship, it impairs or damages other relationships. So we have to stay aware of this, that, you know, we have other people in our life who love us and whom we love, and we have to really nurture those relationships. We have to really put a lot of time and attention on those relationships. And this brings up something interesting that we talk about, is when I say a relationship is important to me, all right, whether it's a relationship with God, a relationship with whatever, the way I show it's important is the amount of time, the time I spend on nurturing that relationship. I can say anything I want or all the different things, you know, I want, but it's the time I spend on that relationship. I have to spend time on it. And when I have a relationship that's hurting me, I have to be careful and understand that I can't devote my entire time, energy, effort, all the waking moments of my life focused on that relationship. I have to keep the other relationships healthy.
From the spiritual engineering standpoint, we can look at this situation and handle this using three resources: the physical, the mental, and the spiritual. The physical, what can I do to develop that relationship? I will continue doing the same, trying to reach out for this person, showing this person that I'm there, because we mothers, we love in a very unconditional way. Yes, it's going to hurt, but we know that we're doing the right thing for the right reasons in the right time. And we're doing it because we wanted to have that relationship, but also we're doing it because it's the right thing to do. Now, better not to have expectations. We know that sooner or later, the relationship is going to work, here or in the eternity, as you mentioned it before. And having that level of trust, it is so important in our life, because it really adds another layer to our motives. Our motives, why are we doing things? Are we doing things to expect an immediate result that probably it will appease our mind and it will give us that return of knowing that we've been loved by our children and we have been forgiven for whatever wrong we have done? Or we're building this patience that we need to develop to know that maybe things don't work in our own time and we need to exercise more endurance so we can go through these trials and tribulations that we're going to face in life, but knowing that we're building character. And that's the first element, the level of the physical, continue trying to make the amends, to build the relationship, to invite the daughter, to send letters, make phone calls. Just be present without expecting anything. Anything. We do it because it's the right thing to do. The second layer, from the emotional standpoint, we review what we have done. We try not to make the same mistakes again with our children, with our relatives, and definitely placing priority on those relationships that we still have, because maybe what happened in the past is this person feels resentment because it has an issue with abandonment or neglect, or I mean, there will be many reasons. So when we really look at ourselves and we know what is our part, we are committed to not to make the same mistake with our living relationship. That's the the mental aspect of it, and then the spiritual aspect of it, to pray for that person, to pray and to want that person to have everything that is important to us, and also to ask God to open that person's heart and mind to experience forgiveness, because experiencing forgiveness is one of the greatest gifts that any human being can experience.
It is, and this, what you're saying, Patty, is so important. Remember, when we have this and we go through the pain, we have three resources to transcend that pain, to experience that pain and transcend it. We have physical, mental, and spiritual resources. Each one of us have a real power in all three of these areas, a physical power, a physical energy, a mental, and a spiritual. So we have to learn how to utilize all three of these resources, to bring these three resources to bear to help us solve the challenge and the and work through the adversity that we're in. And as you mentioned, we have the physical. There's things we can do. We can also, I like to mention, there's things, CDs, pick up a book, read a spiritual book, make a commitment to read something spiritual every morning, something to read, to actually physically do an act. When the loss and the thoughts of the loss start to overwhelm us and our emotions get so wrapped up in the loss of what we're, you know, that what we have, the loss that we're experiencing, our heart gets so heavy and we get so wrapped up in this, take a physical change. Get out of the house. Go for a walk. Go out and make yourself look at the beauty. Make yourself look at things that you're grateful for. The gratitude list is a great thing. Physical thing to do. Write down 10 things for which you're grateful about the relationships you do have. So do something physical. And then you do something mental. And again, part of this is so hard to do because our mind is where we get mired down. Our mind is where our confusion is. Our mind is what we start thinking about something, and it has the origin of so many feelings. So we have to learn to uplift our mind. And this doesn't mean that we deaden that mind by watching a bunch of junk on TV or something like that. A little bit of escape is all right, but we have to discipline our mind and make our mind shift to a higher level of thinking, a level that's more beneficial to us. And again, reading things, listening to things, having things that we contemplate and move our mind upward. And one of the biggest lessons I've ever had to learn is that the spiritual power we have inside of us is often one of the only thing that can shift our mind. Just think of that. You've got a power inside of you, a spiritual energy that can actually shift and direct the way you think. And that is one of the biggest things I've learned about this spiritual power, is that it actually can shift and direct the way I think. So I use those three resources and bring them to bear. And to get back, I just want to recap on something very quickly. When we have these living losses, these living relationship losses, that where we have done, something has happened in our life and we have this loss of people we love and a relationship we want, we have to do a couple things. Look and see what our part in this is, because a lot of times these relationships are can be affected by perceptions, expectations, and motives. Perceptions, expectations, and motives. So we learn to look at our perceptions, expectations, and motives about this relationship. And then we try to look at the other person's. Where are their perceptions, expectations? What's the problem here? And sometimes that can help us lead to an answer. And what I'm saying is that sometimes we have real things that have interfered with this relationship, and sometimes they're just imaginary things like a false perception or a wrong perception. And we can work on those things and change them. So we have to learn to basically step back from this relationship. Use some of these tools we're trying to share with you. Be very logical. Be a little bit analytical. The pain is there. The hurt is there. But when we can step back and realize that we can work through this adversity and realize that we may not get what we expect, and that's why we have to look at our own expectations. If we expect this relationship to be magically healed all of a sudden, it may not happen. But if we expect steady progress. If we expect ourselves to do what is right and what is best for us and do what is best for the other person, if I am all right with me and all right with God, the relationship has the best chance to heal. It sees when I'm not okay with me or I'm not okay with God, then I interfere with that the healing of that relationship.
I was just going to mention this element of guilt, because sometimes we are masters of our own guilt and we just don't let go. And yes, we all make mistakes. We all make mistakes. Perhaps we feel that we haven't been the best parents. And that's a given. Really, they don't teach us how to be good parents. However, if we have made a mistake, this feeling of blaming ourselves, it really damages our possibility to enjoy the present. And I think that when we go in prayer and we release that feeling and we honestly tell God, I don't want to feel this way, you know, Lord, I made this mistake, but please help me to heal. Take this pain away from me and give me the acceptance and the healthy self-love to realize that I'm not perfect, I'm human, I'm going to make mistakes, but also I'm a creature of progress. I want to become better. I want to progress every day. Help me to be that kind of person. And when we center our prayers in that way, it is a big, big chance that guilt will be relieved over time, and we accept the fact that, yes, we made mistakes. Yes, maybe other people hate us because we made those mistakes, but we don't have to hate ourselves because we have learned to love ourselves and to understand that within our limitations, we are going to make those big mistakes.
Yeah, and you mentioned something, and again, back to the basis of healthy relationships, these extraordinary, wonderful relationships we all want. Spiritual engineering offers what is the 21st century model for these relationships. It's something totally new, and it's a new way of looking at relationships. Building these relationships is like building a house. We put in the foundation, we put up the walls, and then we put the roof on. Three parts to any good house. And that's the way we build these relationships. The foundation is the spiritual relationship, our personal relationship with God or our personal spiritual power. This is what sets our purpose, our values, our goals in life. And then the walls, the supporting structure for all relationships, is our relationship with ourself. Jesus and Buddha both told us to love our neighbor as ourself. So we have to learn to love ourselves in a healthy way, before we can give love or receive love to other people. And then the root, the crowning achievement, is relationships with other people. So you have the foundation, walls, and roof. And all these relationships, the best ones, the really great ones, must be built in that order. It's a natural order for building relationships. And quite often we see the problem, the symptom is out there in relationships with the other person. But the problem and the solution is in our relationship with ourselves. We have to look at ourselves. And then the real answer, if we can't find it anyplace else, is in the spiritual relationship. Again, we have all these things. We have a tremendous amount of tools. When we realize the tools that we have and learn how to use them.
And thank you for being with us today. We invite you to visit www.spiritual-engineering.com, where you can find more information about these tools. We will see you next week.
Yes, and email us. It's tom@spiritual-engineering.com, tom@spiritualengineering.com, or patricia@spiritual-engineering.com. We'd love to hear from you, and we have CDs, and we have a lot of these tools spelled out. Our objective is to learn these things, to apply them, and then help other people use them in their life, because we have a lot of adversity, we have a lot of problems, and when we know there's a solution that works, it helps us move through that. Remember, no matter what your problem is, God is the answer. So thank you again for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for experiencing Spiritual Engineering Radio. To connect with your show hosts, Thomas and Patricia Strausser, please visit www.spiritual-engineering.com. Spiritual Engineering Radio, building extraordinary relationships for the 21st century.